Okay, good morning. We haven't been able to worship together and study His Word. I'm biting at the mouth here. So, man, I mean. Okay, first of all, do all hundreds of you have the handout, The Day Christ Died? Lila, did you get that on the chair there, The Day Christ Died? Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's see, there's so much that we need to be in prayer for. I hope you got the email on Cindy's relatives up in Wichita Falls, Texas, and we need to continue to be in prayer for them. And yeah, Morgan, get you one of those on the chair there. The father of Judah's children, in other words, her ex-husband, he had a major stroke, I mean major, and he is really down, and the doctors really don't know what's going to happen, if he's going to make it, pull through, all this kind of thing, and the whole family's been disrupted by it. So please be in prayer for Jim Young and the whole family at this time, the children especially, Kelly and Karen and Julie, and be in prayer for Judith's brother. She sure is occupying our prayer list, isn't she? Her brother. And as the stem cell cancer, continue being in prayer for Thomas. And any other prayer requests that you're not aware of? Okay. Kit, mother-in-law, went on to be with the Lord. And so Kit and Julia went to Greece for the funeral. And he should be back maybe next weekend. I'm not sure what his schedule is. But rather than start 1 Corinthians 10 and then stop when he does get back and all, I decided I wanted to do a special on Resurrection Sunday. I detest the word Easter. Resurrection Sunday. And so this will be this week, and next week we'll cover this. So I hope everyone has a handout. Let's begin with a word of prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity, the privilege, the pleasure of assembling ourselves together for the purpose of studying your word. It's a light into our path, that Father. It tells us things that there's no way we would know if it were not for your word and for your spirit to open our eyes. Father, we pray you show us the things you'd have us to see and understand this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, not many people today know what the whole Easter weekend is about, especially young children. That's the worship of Esther, goddess. Okay, when I was a child, it was so easy to witness at Christmas and Easter weekend because I was a loudmouth. I got to be in all the plays in elementary, and you know, the kids would just say, "What is this about?" and "What is that?" and you almost witnessed in spite of yourself. Even if you didn't want to, you had to tell them what it was about. And but that's not the case anymore, and I'm sure a lot of young people do not even know what either one of the events are about. But we're going to take a look at the day Christ died, and then of course the day he rose from the dead. Now let me first of all start off by saying that I really don't care whether you believe he died on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, as long as you and I agree that he rose from the dead. He died on the cross, bearing the judgment of the sins of the world, and rose from the dead to give us life. And that's the main thing. Now, my concern is the accuracy of the Word of God. The Friday crucifixion is from Roman Catholicism, and it's one of those things that we did not drop, and so we're kind of stuck with it in the movement of Protestantism. But if we stay with the Scripture, it's going to be hard to press 3 days and three nights from Friday, 6 o'clock, to Sunday morning. It just can't be done. No 3 days and three nights. And I know scholars, and I read them, who are so precise in other areas on these kinds of things. But for some reason, when it comes to this, they've got to stick with that. And it's one of those issues that is so popular that even pastors hate to disagree with it. John Hintz wrote the, in Chicago, and wrote a letter, Christianity Today. He wrote them a letter because they had put out an article in their magazine that invite Jesus into your heart. And John wrote and asked them, talked to them very nicely, not teaching them, but just kind of asking them different things. And they wrote back and said, no, inviting Jesus into your heart is not in the Bible, but it is so popular that we condone it. So that's the way false doctrine is advocated. And I just want us to go through this, get all these things down. If you have any questions, please raise your hand. Let's talk about it and see what we come up with. But again, I would not break fellowship with anyone who wanted to say he was crucified on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and rose on the first day of the week. I don't argue, as long as we agree that he died for the sins of the world and rose again. So, but what we're going to do is stay as close to Scripture as we can. Now, at the very beginning, at the top there, this whole thing balanced on Roman time or Jewish time. Roman time starts from 12 midnight to 12 midnight, like ours does. A day starts at midnight and ends at midnight tonight. And one day and part of two nights. Now, Jewish time is different. It starts at 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., one night and one day. I think Jewish time makes perfect sense, but I grew up with Roman time, and so that's what I'm stuck with. And that's what we're all kind of stuck with as far as our daily life is concerned. Now, Nisan, the Hebrew calendar, corresponds to our calendar more or less. March, April, since the biblical record is in Jewish time, the following week is noted in Jewish time. And that is where a day begins at 6 p.m. and ends the following 6 p.m. So 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. is one day and one night. Now, let's start with Friday. Now, this is not the Friday of the crucifixion. This is the Friday before. Friday begins at 6 p.m. By the way, I want to thank James. I sent him this rather than just stand up and have you write it all out. I wanted you to have this so you could document it and go over it and show and study it. And James fixed all this up for us, and I'm most appreciative for him doing that. I told him, don't let any preacher see what he does for us, or they'd want to hire him. And we can't pay him what he's worth. And so we don't want him to get the big head and go somewhere else. All right. Friday begins at 6 p.m. on Thursday to 6 p.m. on Friday, Nisan the 9th. Now, what happened at this time, Jesus Christ ate at the supper in Bethany, about 2 miles from Jerusalem, about 4 p.m. Friday. John 12, 1 through 9, Matthew 26, 6 and following, Mark 14, 3 through 9. John says this event took place 6 days before the Passover. And that becomes significant. The problem I'm going to show you is in John's account. You take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then we're going to see a great problem with John. The problem is resolved if we understand what's happening historically. And I'll show you that as we go through this. Now, that brings us to Saturday, 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday. This was the weekly Sabbath. Preparation for the triumphal entry, late morning, Luke 19:29 and following. The triumphal entry, late afternoon, John 12, 12 through 19. Now, a lot of people like to have this occurring on Sunday, but people, that has no significance to the Jews. Saturday has significance to the Jews. So that's when it happened. Brian, did you and Jennifer pick up the day Christ died? Okay, good. So Saturday, we have the triumphal entry, late afternoon. And we have studied the triumphal entry. And that brings us now to Sunday, 6 p.m. Saturday to 6 p.m. Sunday. Cursing of the fig tree in the morning hours. And Mark 11, 12 and following, you can read that. Cleansing of the temple in the late afternoon. That takes care of that day as far as is the documentation of Christ's life. That brings us to Monday, 6 p.m. Sunday to 6 p.m. Monday. And three things of significance. One, Jesus Christ delivers the prophetic discourse in the morning. Mark 11, 20. Teaching in the temple, late morning, Mark 12, 11, 27. Jesus Christ delivers, the Olivet Discourse in the early afternoon, and that's what we're studying. In our second class this morning, we will study the Olivet Discourse. When was it delivered? It was delivered on Monday afternoon. And so that's how these things are flowing in this final week in Christ's life. And you'll note, as far as he is concerned, and that we have, he did do some talking at the supper in Bethany, but we have the cursing of the fig tree, very important, and delivers the prophetic discourse in the morning, teaches in the temple late morning, the Olivet Discourse in early afternoon. As we move closer to his crucifixion, Christ concentrates on his teaching what is important. That brings us to Tuesday. Now, the way we're going to look at it, Wednesday will be the crucifixion, 3 days and three nights. I'll show you that. But Tuesday, 6 p.m. Monday to 6 p.m. Tuesday, preparation for the Passover in late afternoon. I'll explain that in a moment. This is Tuesday, but the Passover is not the normal Sabbath on Saturday. I'll come to that in a moment. Wednesday begins Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. to Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. All right. The Last Supper, also called Passover, around 6 p.m. Tuesday evening. Jesus Christ washes the feet of the disciples in the upper room. 3. Jesus Christ gives the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are mine. 4. Judas leaves to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, prophesied in the Old Testament. 5. Jesus gives the upper room discourse, John 13 through 15, and it really centers on the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the main emphasis of the discourse. The discourse on the coming of the Holy Spirit, John 14, 13 through 15. 6. Jesus introduces the First Communion, the last Passover, and the First Communion. 7. Jesus tells the sending of the Holy Spirit. 8. Jesus Christ moves to Gethsemane later Tuesday night, Matthew 26, 36. So he moves from the upper room, goes across over to across the Kindred Valley, over to the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, that brings us now to 9, and we're still on Wednesday. Jesus Christ is betrayed by a kiss from Judas, arrested, and taken to his 6 trials. A lot happened leading up to the crucifixion of our Lord. The trial before Annas, the trial before Caiaphas, before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate, before Herod, before Pilate. So, and the scripture references are there. When each of these trials of Jesus Christ took place, he was beaten in some of these trials, humiliated, all of that. But these are the trial order. Okay, now, 10. Jesus Christ is taken to be crucified at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. Matthew 27, John 19, this is what we're studying on Wednesday night. We just completed the importance of this study. So Jesus Christ is taken to be crucified. He's crucified around 9 a.m. in the morning. 11, Jesus Christ is taken from the cross. So we have all the sayings. I probably should have put all the sayings of Christ here, but I didn't. We have the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. And then point 11, Jesus Christ taken from the cross around 3 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. And then Jesus Christ is buried by 6 p.m., and that has to be according to Jewish law, that they had to be in the grave by 6 p.m. So that's John 19, Luke 23. Now, the fulfillment of Jesus Christ's words that in Matthew 12:40, 3 days and three nights. In fact, let's just take a minute and look at Matthew 12:40. We didn't put it on here for you, so you'll have to open up your own Bibles or your own computer, one or the other. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 12. The times are changing so much. You know, the electric Bibles and computer Bibles and all that. And one of the comics I read, the grandmother said to the little boy, "Have you brushed your teeth?" He said, "No, my battery's dead." And she said, "Well, you can still have a brush, don't you?" "Yeah." I said, "You can put toothpaste on it and do it, man." And he said, "I never knew you could do that. And that you could do it that way. You had to have a battery in it." So times do change. All right. Let's look at Matthew 12 and let's read verse 40. Well, let's start at 39. But he answered, verse 38, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign shall be given to it.'" It's not going to be done. But the sign of Jonah, the prophet. That's the only sign they're going to get. "For just as Jonah was there 3 days and three nights," specifically saying 3 days, three nights, "in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be in 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Repeated. 3 days, three nights. And it just amazes me how scholars who other times would take that and they would be very adamant about it. But here, well, we're going to take a little bit of Friday, even though Friday wasn't involved as the day, because Friday is a night. But they're going to take Friday and then Saturday and part of Sunday. That's the 3 days, Friday night, Saturday night. So, and that, it doesn't calculate. But that's what they do. So, according to that. So, go back now to our reading on the second page. Jesus Christ rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. on Saturday, according to Jewish time. All right, first night. Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. to Thursday morning, 6 a.m. First day, Thursday morning, 6 a.m. to Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Second night, Thursday evening, 6 p.m., Friday morning, 6 a.m. Second day, Friday morning, 6 p.m., Friday morning, 6 p.m., 6 a.m., 6 p.m. Third night, Friday evening, 6 p.m. to Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Third day, Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to Saturday evening, 6 p.m. 3 days, three nights. He's in the grave. So Jesus rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday. Now, I'm not going to get involved in it, but Friday just has no way of being in line with the scripture. Now, a Thursday can push it. A Thursday crucifixion can fit into the realm. So there are people that are very strong on Thursday. And but just have to remember, the mass of people, without thinking it through, because of Roman Catholicism given to us, it's Friday. But there's just no way it's going to be done. But so I've looked at these and I picked Wednesday. Okay, a brief statement on the confusion of the day of the Passover. That's part of our confusion, so let's take a look. There is, point one, there is a conflict between the wording of the Synoptic Gospels and the Gospel of John as to when the Jews celebrated the Passover. Okay, here it is. This is the problem that has to be dealt with. In John 18:28, the Passover had not yet occurred, but was to occur that evening. That is the evening of Wednesday at 6 p.m. That's in the John passage. Now, 3, John 19:14 and 31 indicate that Jesus died on the afternoon before the Passover lambs were to be slain in the temple. This would have been during the day of Wednesday, the day of preparation. Passover would be Thursday, starting Wednesday night, 6 p.m., going into Thursday. Now, that's John. 4, but the account by Mark of the Last Supper by our Lord has all forms of Passover, which parallels the details of in the Synoptic, which the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they agree. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but you have three Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that are more in agreement than John. Okay, now point 4 here. But the account by Mark of the Last Supper by our Lord has all forms of Passover, which parallels the details in the Synoptic, which would mean that this supper was the Passover. All the characteristics of the Passover are present. Well-prepared meal, taking place at night, reclining at the table, done at Passover, bread and wine, and the entire meal was closed with an act of praise. Okay, so this is the study, the problems that people have in working this out. All right, now, what's going on? How are we going to resolve the two problems? First, you must remember the Pharisees and Sadducees are like the Democrats and the Republicans. They can't agree on anything. And to be different, they chose to be different. So the Pharisees and Sadducees disputed over the exact timing of feast, and so there were two different dates, two different celebrations of the Passover, one on Tuesday and the other Thursday. Secondly, the calendar found in the Quran community, places the Passover on Tuesday evening, several days before the official Passover. So there are two Passovers that week. Had a special Passover midweek, and then the regular Passover at the end of the week. And this is verified by the calendar found in the Quran community. And then 6, Jesus himself deliberately celebrated Passover early with his disciples. Now, any questions? It is warm in here, isn't it? Wes, can we turn these down a little bit? Not a whole lot, but a little bit. Yeah, so that he would fulfill Scripture. Well, if he did it with the other way, he would not have fulfilled Scripture. And it may be the one in the back. Okay. All right. Any other questions? What you can do is you sit down and kind of go over that. I know I went through it. We didn't open up the verses, looked at them, studied them. It's what we should have done, and get it all down. And we've done it. But I'm just trying to give you a synopsis of these things so you can grab hold of them. Yes?
So,
No, their Sabbath is over at 6 p.m. Saturday. Over. Yeah. When we were in Israel, it's really interesting. I mean, trains, buses, taxis. If you're not where you need to be Friday evening by 6 o'clock, forget it. You're on for a long walk. I mean, we had to leave the big Holocaust Museum early Friday, earlier than what we wanted, but in order to get down to the bus thing and get to the train and get to the train over to our hotel, we had to leave early because it's dead. You walk downtown, we did that on Saturday, and nothing's open. Nothing is open, and hardly anyone's on the street. Today it is.
So, I mean, it's kind of, you wonder why they observe that if there's only like a minority, a very small minority that are Orthodox.
Yeah. Even non-Orthodox, they don't know why, but they celebrate it. They recognize it. They stay off the street. They close down their shops. All of them are not Orthodox, but they'll close their shops and for Saturday. And I know we stayed at two different hotels the first part of the time. To satisfy me, we stayed in this big, beautiful hotel. I mean, 20 stories high and all that. Friday evening, just couldn't get anything to eat. I said, let me have this steak. No. All we got is the prepared salads that are back there already prepared. We can bring that out to you. I went, you're kidding. In this hotel, that's it. That's it. So they recognize it even in a big, and that wasn't even near the old Jerusalem. That was way out, and in the Metroplex area. But they closed down. Whole country, Tel Aviv, all over. Yep. Even more so in some of the smaller communities.
I mean, it's kind of interesting that they have this observance, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't have any sacrifice.
No.
The whole Sabbath thing is about a sacrifice.
And I suppose if you ask a lot of the secular Jews, I don't know why, we just close down at 6 to 6. I get to sleep.
It's like Kit said in Zephaniah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're following the observance.
Yeah.
But they're following Satan.
Yeah, yeah. They're just doing it without any meaning. A ritual without any reality, just like a lot of Christians taking communion. Well, California, forget it. I mean, they're so heathen. All right, go ahead. You still can't. You still can't.
They don't know why they did not know.
No. Nope.
I mean, they were Christian.
Yeah. That was really bad. They some of the places got to where they put sheets. They'd stay open. They put sheets over some of the smaller type stores and the things on the highway. They put sheets over sections that you couldn't buy. And so it was really bad.
Freak me out.
I want this. No. Okay, all right. different customs, different things. But yeah, this is celebrated throughout the whole country of Israel. And in America, there are Jews in America that recognize it. Now, they don't close down their grocery stores, I notice, and they don't close down a lot of places. Yes?
I was roofing my house one time, and I didn't have any help. My father-in-law came over, and it was on a Sunday. He said, well, this is Sabbath, so...
yeah, it's... The Saturday worshipers and the Sunday worshipers. And so, Jews on Saturday, the Christians on Sunday. And those are the ones that Muhammad wants to kill, the Saturday-Sunday people. Okay, anything else? So this is part of their custom, and it's severely... In fact, what was interesting, I think I've told you, in the big hotel we stayed in, you walk to the elevators, elevators on this side, elevators on this side, and usually you just go on either side. Not on the Sabbath. Not Friday evening after 6. This side stops at every floor automatically because to push the button is work. You go on this side if you want to go from your floor, from the first floor to the seventh floor, so you can push to 1-7. Not on this side. It's going to stop. And the Jews all stayed on that side. Says it stopped at every floor. I wanted so badly, but my wife made me be nice. I wanted so badly to ask them, well, what's the difference between pushing a button and unlocking the door to you, the key to your door? But she wouldn't let me do that. But it's interesting how they pick and choose what they can and can't do. It's just amazing. Yeah. Do what? You didn't have to go into the room with her. it's just really interesting what they will allow, what they won't allow, what they'll do, what they won't do. And Christ ran into that problem, and taking care of an animal that had fallen into the ditch. And but you do that, but you can't do this. And so it's just one of those type of rituals that they pick and choose what they can and cannot do. But the main thing is, it's observed from Friday evening at 6 o'clock to Saturday evening at 6. At Saturday evening at 6, man, everything was open wide. The clubs, the restaurants, the stores, everything was open back up at 6 o'clock Saturday evening all over Israel, Jerusalem and Israel. And so that was just the way things went. And did y'all get to watch Netanyahu's speech the other day? I mean, that was awesome. And what it did to me, one of the main things it did to me was, boy, I'm so sorry. You look at this leader and our leader, and there's just no comparison. This is a leader. And he's going to have some trouble in his own country, and you'll see what God is doing in history. Okay, let's continue now. And we're down on the page 2 near the bottom. Calendar of the week. Tuesday, preparation for the Passover. And that night, Wednesday in Jewish calendar, Passover meal, late Tuesday. Arrest of Jesus Christ, and late Tuesday into Wednesday begins the 6th trials. Wednesday night, going into Wednesday morning, the 6th trials, 9 a.m., the crucifixion, 12 noon, the cross covered the darkness, the cross is covered in darkness, and for the 3 hours, he's bearing the judgment of the sins of the world, it's all in darkness. We just finished all this on Wednesday night studies. 3 p.m., Jesus Christ is taken from the cross, and right now we're looking at the centurion and saying, surely this was the Son of God. Is he a believer? Is he not a believer? Things like that. But at 3 p.m., Jesus Christ is taken off the cross. By 6 p.m., he is buried. So he will be in the grave 6 p.m. Wednesday evening. Okay. Thursday, Passover Sabbath. Saturday, weekly Sabbath. Sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday, Jesus Christ was resurrected after the third day and into the first day of the week by Jewish time. Remember, all of this is according to Jewish time, not our time. Jewish time. Sunday morning, early, the women arrive at the tomb. But Christ had already risen. And we know he'd already risen from Matthew 28:1. Mark 16:2, Luke 24:1, John 21. All four of them. He has already risen by the time they get there. So he rose sometime before 6 a.m. Sunday morning, and when the women got there, breaking of daylight. So he had already risen from the grave on the third day. Thursday, Passover Sabbath. Saturday, weekly Sabbath, and sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday, Jesus Christ was resurrected, after the third day and into the first day of the week by Jewish time. Monday early, women arrived at the tomb. So they came to the tomb. He had already risen. And so that's very important in working all of this out. Now, let's cover a few other things. I added this because my granddaughter asked me, what is Ash Wednesday and what is all of this stuff? They're putting marks on their forehead and all. So just so you'd have the information, let's take a look at Ash Wednesday. One, practiced by the Roman Catholic Church, has gone through several adjustments. Over the years, there's been several adjustments to it. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent. That's the first day of Lent. Two, the period of Lent is now 40 days to imitate Jesus Christ fasting in the desert for 40 days. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of public penance for the individual, and this began on first day of Lent. Begins on the first day of Lent. Four, up to somewhere in the 8th to 10th century, varied, this was custom of the Roman Catholic Church. Penance were to be sprinkled with ashes on this day, thus Ash Wednesday. And they were to dress in sackcloth. Married couples were to refrain from being with one another until after this period. So this is what Ash Wednesday is all about. Five, day of reconciliation with the Christian community, which was to be on M-A-U-N-D-Y, Thursday, or the Thursday before Easter Sunday. Got Good Friday, got Monday, Thursday. After the 10th century, all this was dropped, and the beginning of the period of Lent was to be symbolized by placing ashes on the forehead of the entire congregation. So they went through a lot of religious ceremonies and adjustments and things. And seven, today in the Roman Catholic Church, on Ash Wednesday, the penitent receives a cross mark on the forehead made of ashes. So if any of your friends do this, this is what they're doing. This is how it came about and what they're doing. It's more of their, has nothing to do with the Bible, but it has to do with their ritual. Okay, that's Ash Wednesday. Palm Sunday. Let's take a look at it. Practice of the Roman Catholic Church and occurs Sunday before Easter Sunday, also called Passion Sunday. And like Ash Wednesday, celebration of Palm Sunday has gone through various changes over history of the Roman Church. Two, begins the Holy Week and commemorates Jesus Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Name Palm Sunday, it was on Saturday, but nevertheless the Roman Church wanted to make it part of the Christian Church. Name Palm Sunday is derived from the crowds laying palm leaves in the path of Jesus Christ as he moved through Jerusalem on the back of a young jackass. Four, in celebration, after walking on the palms, this is followed by liturgy of the account of Jesus Christ on that Sunday. So this is what they should be doing and what's going on with the concept of Palm Sunday. Okay, Good Friday. Let's see what's going on Good Friday. Good Friday, again, ritual practice by the Roman Catholic Church on Friday before Istar. Istar is a celebration of the mythological princess Istar. That's why I hate the word Easter. It's not in the Bible. It was in the early writing of the King James, but even the New King James changed that. So it's not even in the New King James. Okay. Two, Good Friday was to commemorate the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The tradition of crucifixion occurring on Friday came from this celebration, not from the Word of God. Not from the Word of God, but from this celebration. And it just moved right into the Protestant movement. 3, the liturgical service was not really changed that much over the centuries of the Roman Catholic Church. 4, the liturgy starts after 3 p.m. and consists of 3 parts, readings and prayers, especially from the Gospel of John. B, veneration of the cross, and then finally, communion. Many Protestant churches have instituted various services on this Friday. 10 days of the life of Christ, 10 days of human history, 10 days until the resurrection. And those are the 10 days of Christ which we just went through, and starting before the week before the crucifixion. So any questions on any of those things? Yes. Yeah. Stand with tradition, with the Roman Church. Appealing to people, the tradition. Can't separate from tradition. People don't like it. People get nervous. I have a good friend who teaches, and he said, I believe he was crucified on Wednesday, but I guarantee you when I go speak somewhere, I'm teaching it was on Friday. I'm not going to upset people. I'm not going to alarm people. I'm not going to cause people to say, what are you doing? What are you saying? And that's what a lot of the Baptist church does. Same thing with tithing. They get money that way. They claim to be with the Bible, but a lot of stuff is not biblical. And that's just another one of them. So they do it, keep up with the time, with what everybody else believes. Okay? All right. And, you know, I'm going to say this. Let's say you have a family member, your son, daughters, whatever, your parents, and they do the Friday thing and all. Don't cause trouble. Don't cause trouble. Well, you can tell them, but don't cause trouble. Do observe with them and that type of thing. And but I wouldn't. I just don't. It's not worth it. That is not worth the battle. The battle is you don't believe Christ died for the sins of the world. Now that's worth fighting for. You don't believe he rose from the dead? That's worth fighting for. But as to what day of the week, that's not to me a big battle. Now, if we're going to talk about, are we accurate with Scripture? Then I'll fight about it. Because I'm fighting there for accuracy of Scripture. So, it just, you got to pick your battlegrounds. And especially with your family and friends and people like that. So, what is the real battle going on? So Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Any questions? Okay. I just want to give you a background of what's going on those days as we move into this time frame. Okay. Page 4. We are now going to cover the last events of the life of Jesus Christ, not going into any depth at this time. Problem: what day did Jesus Christ die? The real issue is that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross as a demonstration of the love of God, taking the judgment of the sins of the world in substitution, then buried and rose from the dead, alive forever, and we share his risen life. That's the battle. That's the real battle right there. And that's what it's down to. And so I wouldn't make a big issue about all of these things. Now, what day, and I'm different than that. Let's say that I was asked to come speak at some church on the weekend of the crucifixion. I wouldn't stand up and say that on Friday. That's not what I believe. And I'm not going to do it. I just talk, and if anybody's listening out there, they're, wait a minute, he just said he died on Wednesday. What's going on here? But I'd hope I'd slip that by him without anybody really hearing. But it's just not worth the real battle. Okay. What day did Jesus Christ die? Some say Wednesday, some Thursday, some Friday. Least able to be defended use of computers and so on, arguments and so on, is Friday. The day most recognized is Friday, but it's the most difficult to defend. It is the most difficult to defend of all of them, handed down to us from the Roman Church. And they just, if with the computer age, trying to go through and take care of lost weekends, lost days, lost hours, lost this, lost that. It's just very difficult to defend the Friday day of the crucifixion of our Savior. Okay, Matthew chapter 20, or 12, verse 40. Just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He says it twice. That's very emphatic. It's very emphatic to have it repeated in one verse like this. And when you start getting involved in interpreting the Bible and hermeneutics and exegesis, this is very emphatic. That in one short verse, twice, 3 days, three nights, he's making the point. And there's no way you're going to get 3 days and three nights with a crucifixion Friday, being buried Friday evening. It isn't going to happen. Now, study those who believe it was Friday, and so on. Dance around this one, and you ought to just hear them. It's one of those kind of deals where they'll talk on maybe several pages in their commentaries. But when you look at it, they haven't really said anything, and then they just go on like they did. They didn't say anything. They dance around it, because it just can't be done. All right. I do not refer to literal 3 days and three nights. It's figurative, all of these other kind of things, that they would not do in other passages. It's interesting to study how they handle the 3 days, three nights here, and how they handle what we're studying in Matthew 24 and 25. How they handle the precisions and what Christ is saying and over in his studies and what he's talking about, the sign of the times. No one knows. Well, it's this. It is doing that. It's amazing the way you will justify trying to get by with something in the Bible. And here they say, well, it's figurative. Part of 3 days, part of three nights. Doesn't say part of 3 days. Doesn't say part of three nights. It says specifically twice here, 3 days, three nights. Okay. But the truth is that there is no way you can cram 3 days and three nights into Friday crucifixion and Sunday morning resurrection without doing damage to the Scriptures. It's just a fact. Now, for the chronology of the events of the last 10 days of our Lord's life, we are going to stay with the flow of Scripture that Jesus Christ died on Wednesday. And as I said, people, if you think it's Friday, we can go out and eat together as long as you're buying. No. And we can enjoy fellowship. It's just not that big of a deal to me. But it's staying close and accurate to Scripture. All right. Wednesday noon. Darkness shrouded the cross around 12 noon. And whatever the judgment was started at that time, hidden from the world, before he was taken down from the cross and carried away, prepared and buried, 6 p.m. Before 6 p.m., Jesus Christ taken off the cross, and that's what we're studying right now on Wednesday night, he'll be taken off the cross and put into the grave. And some interesting things are going to come up in that study when we get to that area. All right, Wednesday, Jesus Christ nailed to the cross around 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. Noon, darkness shrouded the cross around 12 noon. Wednesday, judgment hidden from the world. That's why the darkness was around the cross. And before his body was taken down from the cross and carried away, prepared, 6 p.m. buried before 6 p.m. Wednesday evening. So he has to be buried before that time to be fitting with the Jewish custom and law. Okay, therefore, once again, from 6 p.m. Wednesday evening to 6 p.m. Thursday morning, night one. from 6 a.m. Thursday morning to 6 p.m. Thursday evening, Jewish time, first day. From 6 p.m. Thursday evening to 6 p.m. Friday morning, second night. From 6 a.m. Friday morning to 6 p.m. Friday evening, second day. From 6 p.m. Friday evening to 6 a.m. Saturday morning, third night. From 6 a.m. Saturday morning to 6 p.m. Saturday evening, third day. So Jesus Christ rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday. And they will come early in the dark, early when darkness is over. But he's already risen. And all you have to do is look at those passages I've already given you, and they confirm he has already risen. So Jesus Christ rose from the grave sometime after 6 p.m. Saturday into Sunday morning. So our chronological study will be constructed around the crucifixion occurring on Wednesday morning, 9 a.m., and his body taken down after 3 p.m. Wednesday. Any questions or problems? Okay. Because, like I said, this is just the way, to me, in the study of the Bible, you put the things together. And if one desires to believe that he is crucified on Friday, then that is their view. Let us be glad they believe that he is the Son of God, he is the Savior, that he came and died for the sins of the world and rose again for eternal life. I can have fellowship with that. Absolutely. Okay, we'll pick it up here next Sunday morning at this class. Let's close in a word of prayer. You know, Heavenly Father, if it was part of our belief foundation, the exact time of his crucifixion and resurrection, you would have told us. It would have been in your scriptures. Well, all we're told is that he was 3 days and three nights in the grave. Father, we praise you for giving us this information, letting us know what's happened and what happened with the resurrection. And Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen this morning, use it to your glory and the glory of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.